Hello, this is Robert Rickover, and today my guest is Becca Ferguson, who's an Alexander Technique teacher in Urbana, Illinois. She works with a wide variety of students, and her specialties are working in the field of recovery and relapse prevention, and also with people who have post-traumatic stress disorder. We're going to refer to that as PTSD. And our interview today is going to be on the topic of how the Alexander Technique could be useful for people who are suffering from PTSD. Becca, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Robert. It's good to be talking with you.
Well, it's good to talk to you again. I think it would be good to start with a short description of the Alexander Technique for our listeners who have no idea what it is.
All right. The Alexander Technique is a unique body-mind practice for improved performance in all of our activities, calming and balancing of our nervous systems, better stress management, and other benefits. And basically, the technique teaches us to develop mindful awareness of our whole self, that is, body and mind, and learn how to stop and change automatic and habitual reactions and patterns of movement that rob us of coordination and poise.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would also be helpful for our listeners to have a fairly precise definition of PTSD.
All right. I'm reading this from a book called The Ethics of Touch. And it is described in this book as emotional, physical, or sexual abuse and trauma that leaves profound and lasting effects on a person's psychological, cognitive, and emotional functioning.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
The impact and symptoms of trauma are known as post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, and a wide variety of phenomena can cause them, from very severe things like being in a concentration camp in the Second World War, being in war like in the Middle East, as well as more common things such as verbal and emotional abuse over time, where these events are repeated, perhaps for years on end. So there's a lot of different thoughts now about what can actually cause these traumatic responses in an individual.
Mm-hmm. And I think that most people who have heard of the Alexander Technique would associate it with helping people with things such as back pain or neck pain or stiff shoulders, or helping performers like musicians or dancers, actors, perform their craft more efficiently, more effectively. I don't think it is in most people's minds associated with PTSD. How do you see that connection? And maybe the best way to answer that would be to describe your experiences a little bit, and how
okay.
you got it, how you, and how they eventually led you to the Alexander Technique.
Definitely. I will begin with an important disclaimer, which is that I am not a trained, certified expert in the treatment of trauma. I am speaking today from my experience of healing and my perspective as a practitioner and teacher of the technique. And my program of what is called mindfulness-based Alexander Technique and traditional Alexander Technique are not medicine or medical treatment, and rather they are complementary practices to be used only in tandem with appropriate medical care. So to get to the answer to your question, fundamentally, one of the things that has not been said much about the technique until recently is that it is an incredible tool for handling and lowering our stress response in our nervous system. And this is why we're seeing it showing up in more and more integrated medicine settings, where alternative therapies such as acupuncture and Tai Chi and meditation are being used in Western medicine settings. The technique improves our overall coordination. We learn to stop how we use our whole self, our body, and our mind. We stop habits and automatic pilot reactions, and then we redirect our actions into more coordinated movements that, for instance, help with repetitive motions that harm us, that cause pain, but also can cause us to develop patterns of behavior where we become more anxious. And sort of anecdotally, what has happened over time is that people report having greater ease in all activities in their life, and they notice they are handling situations more calmly and handling anxiety and stress better. And basically, if you look at a human as an entire self, an entire organism that is one big nervous system, body and mind, as Alexander said, you change the manner of use in the whole organism in one part, and you change the condition throughout the organism. So old reactions associated with old habits and movements, when those change, then the old responses can no longer take place. And what this means is that the old habitual reflexes no longer happen. And so it's a marvelous tool, because over time, as we stop doing the things that have harmed us, we stop walking a certain way where we're hunched over and we aren't getting the proper nerve signals up into our brain because we're humped over a keyboard, or we're sitting in a car for hours on end gripping the steering wheel. As we stop using this extreme amount of force in our actions, as we stop pushing our bodies past limits that really aren't meant to be kept day on day after day, year after year, when we stop doing those things and our body can return to a more calm and balanced state, we really do begin to rewire ourselves. And so again, along the way, I got into the technique to help with back and neck pain from a diving accident when I was in junior high, and began to notice that I was handling stress much better. And then I began to notice that this constant hyperarousal and constant vigilance are an attribute of post-traumatic stress disorder. There's a being on guard and being triggered by the slightest movements or noises or provocations. And in a way, everything becomes a perceived provocation. And you stay in this agitated, engaged state. And that's really part of the big constellation of symptoms that is why it's called post-traumatic stress disorder, that people stay, you know, in this state of hyper-arousal for something that's no longer happening to them, except it's happening over and over in their nervous system.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I could just jump in here with a thought about that might make it a little easier for people who have some knowledge that the Alexander technique can help people do ordinary things or even extraordinary things better by helping them releasing harmful tension patterns that interfere mm-hmm. with their ability to do them. So, for example, a kind of a classic example might be a violinist who, when she moves the bow back and forth, inadvertently is creating a lot of excess tension in her wrist or fingers or shoulders, and an Alexander teacher can help someone like that identify that pattern and release it. Now that's a fairly specific action, and the same person might be doing a lot of other things fairly well, but it sounds like from the way you're describing it that trauma can cause. The kind of trauma you're talking about can cause a kind of an overall malfunction in how you organize yourself. That is, there's sort of a kind of a level of tension that's throughout your body and isn't necessarily going to be that related to a particular activity. It'll show up in walking. It'll show up when you're trying to sleep. There's a kind of a chronic excess tension that, as you say, kind of we're certainly as human beings not designed to live with that for long periods of time. And when we do, it takes a toll and makes us, like we're kind of operating on a tripwire. The slightest thing can cause us to react or overreact. And of course, we know from what we're learning about returning soldiers who often are in that situation for long periods of time, that it doesn't go away just because they're back home.
Exactly.
It can show up in their civilian life too. So it's, in a way, I guess what I'm trying to say here, it sounds like the things that the Alexander technique can help with, that it's best known for, specific improvements in things like posture and coordination. That same ability, I would think, and from what you're saying, clearly does, can be very helpful for this kind of overall tension pattern.
Exactly, because I began studying the technique many years ago with hiatuses from it, but this comprehensive calming of stress is of the stress response is what is becoming more and more of a benefit that's becoming more known and promoted with the technique. It is why, so again, if you stop the habitual response and if you learn new responses and redirect yourself into new responses and habits and function overall in a more coordinated way, everything gets affected, which means thinking, which means the responses slow down. For people with PTSD and also people, for instance, with severe anxiety and addiction problems, if you can handle the stressors in your life differently, if you are less reactive and less engaged with them, over time, you calm down and you permanently change your responses. And so for me, at a certain point, I suddenly noticed that I was able to be in situations that I had been like a deer in the headlights with, and that my startle reaction, I was a chronically agitated, startled person addicted to tranquilizers for this. And it was stunning one day when something, jumped. I was somewhere and a snake crossed my path, and I didn't even jump. And it was such a surprise to see that I'm not saying this could be the response for everybody, but even to have a little of that calming is an extraordinary improvement.
And listening to what you just said, I'm also kind of struck by the fact that PTSD, someone who has PTSD, it's kind of a more extreme version of what a lot of people are carrying around.
Exactly.
I have a lot of students who are always a kind of on edge, to a certain extent. They do not have PTSD, but there's a kind of an edginess about them. Some of them are, and for some of them, it seems like it has to do with just their work/family situation, where there's so many things they've got to attend to, a working mother with kids. The demands are just huge, and it can kind of create some aspect of that. Or some of them may have had a less dramatic kind of stress put on them as children, not taking them to full-blown PTSD, but something in that direction.
Exactly. And see, I believe that we have, as human beings, we have evolved past the point. We are having to deal, we're still alive in an era when we're having to deal with constant nervous system stressors that we did not develop with initially. And that because we live in these industrialized lives of chronically having to be 10 places at once, and this business of, you know, multitasking, supposedly, the nervous system doesn't multitask. It just shifts back and forth very quickly between tasks. But we live in a world where we need to multitask, and the demands that that puts over time on our nervous systems basically, in my opinion, make it just sort of short circuit and begin to shut down. And then if you throw things like chronic pain in, which keep the amygdala in certain parts of the brains more engaged, and over time the whole business of being in chronic pain or chronically anxious becomes the disorder. So again, it's this situation where our nervous system never gets a chance to just stop. It doesn't have a level set anymore. It doesn't have a balance point. It's chronically activated, mm-hmm. and on the move, and that is not right. What right for us?
And finding that balance point, or finding out where, say, if you're just standing or sitting, learning how to do very simple activities like that without adding extra tension.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what you're talking about when you say balance point, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. I mean, there's the first business is just, frankly, learning to sit and mindfully observe ourselves and become aware of ourselves. Do a body scan. Notice where we're holding tension. Notice, you know, we're gripping the floor. We're sitting and we've got our feet on the floor. We're barefooted. And you suddenly notice you're gripping the floor with a death grip, like you're on the deck of the Titanic, and you don't need all that force just to sit with your feet on the floor. You know, we've lost our own internal global positioning system of being in touch with actually where are we in space. In my classes, my group classes at treatment, at chemical dependency treatment centers, I teach. First, just let's locate ourselves here in the room, and I tell people to find their own horizon line and get their neck up, and I help them. I come around and do the work of hands-on, but a lot of it is trying to give them skills that they can take out, you know, in their life and locate themselves. So find your horizon line, find your feet, become comfortable, like with the bottom of your feet out of your manufactured shoes, not on manufactured surfaces. Start to go barefooted more. You know, think about what your eyes are doing. Think about your peripheral vision. And this is enormously calming. Often within a 50-minute hour of teaching, I will see people come back into their bodies in a way that is unbelievable. Not like they're healed or all their problems are solved, but even to have a respite from a level of anxiety and engagement that they carry around chronically, and they get it. People really, on some very, very visceral level, can feel the difference in themselves. And these are very simple, simple things: grounding through the feet, mm-hmm. grounding through the sit bones, finding out how to sit in an AA meeting, how to sit in your car, how to begin to be able to calm yourself. In cognitive behavioral world, there's a term of distress tolerance, and people with anxiety and substance abuse problems and trauma issues, distress tolerance is one of the major things that you have to learn, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's like tolerating how to be in your own skin one moment at a time without medicating yourself. And I was a chronic relapser, and this work has, with these really simple measures, given me the ability to be in my own skin one day at a time. And the technique is, as far as I can tell, because it is a physically directed mindfulness practice, it is something we're always brought back to ourselves. As Alexander said, or as one of his renowned teachers, Wilfred Barlow, a physician and Alexander teacher, said, Alexander's work is concerned with the moment-to-moment management of our perceptions of ourselves. And to be able to do that in our daily life, and to have a tool, this rich inner tool of our own ability to calm our nervous system and change how we react, is a priceless gift that has, and it's certainly saved my life. And, you know, I'm trying to do it one person at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think this, unless you have something that you, that we haven't touched on, this might be a great place to bring our conversation to a close.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Yeah, I was gonna jump in there, but you jumped in ahead of me and said what I was gonna say. So, I think this would be a perfect place to end this conversation. My guest here today has been Becca Ferguson, an Alexander Technique teacher in Urbana, Illinois. And if anything that we've been talking about draws your attention, we'll put a link to her website by the interview. If you live anywhere else in the world and you want to find out more about the Alexander Technique or want to locate a teacher in your area, we'll put a link to a site where you can do that. Becca, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Robert.